The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Now that you know what a bare knuckle, the five knuckle shuffle is, it has nothing to do with today's message. I just came up with a list of wrestling things, names, and it's really hard to find some that tie into spiritual things. So let's open up with a word of prayer. This thing cuts my ear every week. All right. I'm a mess. Let's pray. God, thanks. Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts today. Father, this is the base for what we're going to be studying. This is the cornerstone. Father, I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear today what you have to say. Thanks, God. In your name, amen. When we talk about spiritual warfare, everybody kind of goes, ooh, and then we start like trying to cast demons out of people and stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is the fact that the devil is your enemy. If he's your friend, you're in the wrong room and you need help. The devil is your enemy. And he's going to do everything he can to make you as unsuccessful at being a Christian as he can. He does not have your best interests at heart. So we battle with that. The problem is, a lot of us misdiagnose the problem. We spend a lot of time trying to fix our problems. We have stress at home, tension at work, conflict in relationships, discouragement with our faith. And often we assume that the problem is the person, the situation, or ourselves. But Paul says this, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. See, if we misidentify the enemy, we will fight the wrong battle. And we do. You can't win a spiritual war using only natural weapons. And you can't overcome spiritual opposition if you think everything is just a coincidence, a personality conflict, or bad luck. I hate it when people tell me, good luck, Jerry. I don't have good luck. I just don't. But I'm not worried about luck. I'm worried about God. What is God going to do through this? Let's go to our first point. And that is, you're going to love this, the Christian life is a struggle. Oh, thank you, Jerry. So uplifting. I could blow sunshine in your face. No, the Christian life is a walk through a rose garden and everything is nice and pretty. It may be a rose garden, but there's thorns and there's fertilizer. Anybody else ever been in the fertilizer? I have. What does Ephesians 6:12 says again? We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. I like where Paul says we're fighting. We're fighting. Now, you know, when I was growing up, if you had a beef with somebody, you went hands-on, knuckle to knuckle. Now they're shooting and stuff. Hey, bunch of sissies. We would just square up, you know. The worst thing we did, we had dirt clod fights. But even then, after you run out of dirt clods, you just got to go beat the guy up. So when we fought, we went hands-on. And Paul said, in fact, the King James Version and some of the other versions of this says we wrestle. Wrestle is hand-to-hand, right there on top of each other. It's close-in fighting. It's combat. It's effort. It's resistance. It's persistence. You can't give up in the middle of a wrestling match. You can't give up in a fight. Unless you're that one boxer who said, no mas, no mas. I can't remember his name, but he's a wimp. He got pummeled by some other guy, and I call him a wimp. Why don't you box, Jerry? Because I don't like getting hit. The only time I got hit was when I was playing football, and I wore a helmet and pads. Here's the thing. Christianity is not a playground. It's a battlefield. And if nobody's ever hipped you to this, let this come to you now. These preachers on TV that come out and say, well, Christianity, you'll never have any more problems. You all of your life. What are you, stupid? It's a battlefield. We're going to war. It's a righteous war. And in the end, we win. I read the end of the book. We win. It's a battlefield. If you're facing resistance in your prayer, that may not be laziness. It may be warfare. You ever stop to think, well, I really need to pray, and then something will come up, your phone will ring. You'll get a text message. You'll remember something you had to have to add to the shopping list. Do you think all of that's just coincidence? A lot of times, it's the devil, his demons, saying, whatever I can do to divert them from prayer. When you're praying, put your phone away. Don't, and well, I need it to take notes. Put it away. Get yourself, go analog, get a pad of paper and a pencil. You mean actually write something down? Yes, write something down. Lazy. If you feel opposition when you step into obedience, that's not accidental. I've told you guys the story many times about me playing basketball. I'm horrible at basketball. In fact, I would have to improve to be horrible at basketball. Whatever, think of the worst basketball player you've ever seen and then dig down another 10 layers, and that's my basketball. I can't shoot. I have this weird two-hand shot. It's ugly, trust me. I do foul well, and I set a mean pick. That's not usually I can't dribble. I dribble it off my foot. So when I was youth pastor at Faith Assembly in Imperial, we had a basketball league for the youth stuff. And they had to let me play because I was the youth pastor. Nobody ever passed me the ball because I was just going to give it away because I was not very good. So nobody guarded me. I literally was by myself the whole game. I'm over here. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, good. You know, they just leave me alone. And then one night, I don't know if it was the Lord doing it for this sermon illustration or what. I think that's it. I started making baskets. I started raining in buckets. Every time I touched the ball, it went in. It was amazing. And all of a sudden, somebody guarded me. Went home and told Lynette, I got guarded tonight. She said, you liar. No, it's true. It's true. See, as long as I wasn't a problem, as long as I didn't have anything to really contribute, they'd leave me alone. But the minute I became a danger, somebody better go guard that guy. Look, you wonder why people who aren't Christians, everything seems to go well for them? Why would the devil bother them? He's got them. But the minute you take a stand for Christ, the minute you decide that you're going to be obedient to all the teachings, that you're going to do what God wants you to do, all of a sudden, you're a danger. And when you start telling other people about Christ, it gets even worse. Now you're really dangerous. It's not accidental. If discouragement shows up right when God is moving, that's not random. I love this story. Old parable about the devil holding an auction. On the table, he had tools labeled anger, lust, pride, envy, and fear. But one tool was priced higher than all the others. Discouragement. Discouragement. Somebody asked him, why is that one so expensive? The devil replied, because when I can't get into a person's life with anything else, I use discouragement. Once I get them discouraged, I could do anything I want with them. You ever been discouraged? All of this is the struggle. So when these things start happening in your life, you need to take note. The presence of struggle doesn't mean God is absent. Often, it means you're advancing into contested territory. It means you're getting ready to cross a line into a place that you can start taking ground for God instead of letting the devil have everything. Does this make sense? Am I going too fast for an interview? Okay. This is a football. Okay. Next thing you need to know is the enemy is not flesh and blood. Go back to verse 12. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Your spouse is not the enemy. Some murmur through the crowd. You don't know my spouse. Okay. Your spouse is not the enemy. Your kids are not the enemy. Kids, your parents are not the enemy. You don't know my parents. Yeah, I do. I also know you, Sparky. Your neighbors are not the enemy. Even the bad one that plays loud music at 2 a.m. He's not the enemy. Your boss isn't the enemy. The difficult person in your life, the most difficult person in your life, is not the enemy. Because behind every visible conflict is often invisible influence. Why does this matter? Because when we forget this, we attack people instead of praying for them. Ouch. Ouch. That hurted. When we forget that they're not the enemy, we attack them instead of praying for them. You got a problem with somebody? When's the last time you prayed for them? And I don't mean, chicken McNugget prayers either. You know what I mean by chicken McNugget? Lord, bless me, bless everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. I call them chicken McNugget prayers because chickens are not offended by a box of chicken McNuggets. A chicken will never look into a box of McNuggets and say, Uncle Henry? No, they just don't. It doesn't look like chicken to them. It doesn't represent chicken. And I think sometimes the little penny ante prayers we try and pray don't really resemble prayer. Now, I'm not saying don't pray. I'm just saying put some heart in it when you do. We grow bitter instead of discerning. If you got bitterness in your heart towards somebody, you may want to stop and ask if they're really the problem. Here's the thing. You can't be bitter against somebody you're praying for. Ouch. Would you guys just assume I not preach the rest of this message? Because it's going to get worse from here. We grow bitter instead of discerning. We fight each other instead of standing together. This is what we as Christians are called to do. The devil loves nothing more than believers fighting those around us while he works unnoticed. When I was in law enforcement, we ran the gamut between the guy on the street that's using drugs, the guy on the street that sold him the drugs, the guy on the street that sold him the drugs, and then we had big sting messages where we got guys that were bringing drugs into the country. See, behind every one of those things, behind every addict, there's a guy supplying him. Behind every guy supplying him, there's another kingpin supplying him, and going on and on and on and on. It's the same way in our spiritual lives. When people start getting under our skin, there's something more going on. Now, understand, because the flip side of this is we can start seeing a demon behind every bush. Okay, so there's a balance here, right? If you do something mean to somebody and they're mad at you, that may not be the devil causing this. That may be you being a moron. My brother Greg got in a fight in school. And my mom said, what happened? He said, I don't know. I told him Jesus loves me, and he hit me. So now Greg looks like a martyr. Well, until we talked to my cousin Billy. Billy said, that's not what he said. He said, Jesus loves you, but nobody else does. And that's when he got punched. Okay? That's not Greg making a stand for righteousness. That's Greg shooting off his mouth and getting punched for it. There is an organized spiritual opposition. Look at verse 12 again. Not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul lists rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces of evil. That tells us something we need to understand. Spiritual warfare is real, intentional, and it's organized. This stuff starts going on in your life. It's not coincidence. It's not accident. It's real, it's intentional, and it's organized. See, and Satan's strategy is often really subtle. We don't even notice it sometimes. Look at this. He tries to confuse the truth. That is so prevalent in today's society. I watch the news, and I hear some of the stuff coming out of people's mouths, and I'm thinking, and they really believe they're right. How many times, well, that's your truth. This is my truth. I got news for you. There isn't a my truth. There isn't a your truth. There's truth. The truth. Don't get confused. They divide relationships. Why are there so many hassles between husbands and wives and kids and parents? I heard somebody explain it this way. Because God hates the church. Well, I mean, the devil hates the church, not God. God loves the church. Worst part is none of you even... No, Jerry! The devil hates the church. And the home is a microcosm of what the church is. Think about it. If you and your spouse, you and your kids had a battle on the way to church this morning, how ready were you to worship when you got through the doors? My mom used to yelling at his kids, what are you guys? I'm going to kill you all. I'm going to beat you till you bleed. And then the phone rings. She, oh, hi. Oh, God bless you. She was ready to kill us 30 seconds ago. I still got bruises. Weakens our faith. The devil will do everything he can to weaken your faith. Everything he can to make you think that it's not happening, that God isn't doing anything for you. That's just not true. It may take longer than you think. Our impatience is often the problem with our lack of faith. Hello? Our impatience. God, I want you to do this thing. Amen. All right, God, excuse me, it's been 30 seconds. Why hasn't this done yet? And God's like, you know, I built the heavens and the earth. I'll let you know when it's time. Distracts believers. How many times have you been distracted in your faith? Sit down to read a passage, and like I said earlier, your phone rings. You go to pray and something pops in your mind that you got to go do. We're distracted. Get time alone with God. Get rid of all the bells and whistles around you. Some people are early morning people, some people are late night people. Wherever you can find time to get alone with God, when you're fresh, I can't do it late at night because I get sleepy. Normalizes sin. Boy, we see so much of this today. Churches. I'm going to be indelicate for a moment, okay? like I'm not ever anyway. A lot of churches are embracing, not just being okay with, but they're embracing some of the sinful lifestyles that are out there today. Now look, if you're struggling with your sexual identity, look, God bless you, come to Remnant. Just don't expect your pastors to say, oh, well, that's the way God made you. You're okay. No. We're not gonna tell you that your sin is okay. We're going to tell you that God loves you even though there's sin in your life, just like all the rest of us. And here's a way that you can find your way out of it. See the difference? Love the sinner, but hate the sin. We have churches now that are loving the sinner and loving the sin. I every now and then I'll send stuff that Jeremiah found on Instagram. Now here's some. Booger eating moron. No, blessed child of God. Standing behind a pulpit saying the dumbest things. And I just look at him and think, you're sending people to hell. If I got up here and told you that the sin in your life was okay and God's okay with it and, you know, have fun, I'm damning you to hell. I'd rather get up here and tell you what God's Word says and let you and the Holy Spirit work it out. Jeremiah mentioned Karl Barth the other day. Karl Barth talks about the crisis of confrontation. Here's your life. Here's what God's Word says. What are you going to do about the differences? Satan will also discourage obedience. You don't need to do that. You're fine. See, a lot of our battles aren't dramatic. They're quiet skirmishes of compromise, fatigue, and deception. When the enemy can't stop God's work, he tries to wear God's people down. And just remember, given enough time, a trickle of water can cut through a rock and make a canyon. That slow drip, drip, drip of compromise, sin, and discouragement, and disobedience starts wearing a channel through your life. Spiritual battle requires spiritual responses. Can't fight spiritual forces with anger, bitterness, logic alone, or human strength. So what do you need? Look at Ephesians 6, 13 to 18. Therefore, by the way, next week's message is all about this. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God. I love that, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be able to be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Prayer matters. Scripture matters. Faith matters. Truth matters. Community matters. Why do we want you to come to Remnant on Sunday? You can watch it online, and that's okay. Why do we want you here? Because here, two things can happen. Number one, you can minister to other people. And two, other people can minister to you. And you'll never know what it is. I'm not talking about preaching a sermon to them. It could be nothing more than shaking their hand and saying, God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. That may be all the oomph that person needed that day, just to know that one person cared about it. You may come in here with a load of troubles, and somebody walks up to you and says, how you doing? And instead of doing the, I'm fine, I'm blessed, hallelujah. Everything's fine in my life, I'm blessed. Maybe being honest. Now, I'm not telling you have to tell, well, you know, I got a bunion on my right foot. I'm just saying, you know what? It's been a rough week. And then that person has a chance to pray for you. And I'm not talking about just the pastors. I'm talking about each other. You are ministers of the gospel, just like we are. In fact, I was going to say you pay, because I used to tell my church all the time, you pay us to make, but you don't pay us. We're here to make you work. Sheep make sheep, shepherds raise them. Your job should be to go to those other people in this room. Don't just walk in, plop down, and say, okay, I'm here. Did my duty. I'm in church. First of all, I don't want you doing duty in here. I'll let you decide on the spelling of that word. How about mingling? How about going to somebody you don't know and saying, hey, how are you? Glad you're here. You are vital to Remnant. Understand this. You, right now, you, sitting here, you are vital to Remnant. The ministry of Remnant, the heart of Remnant, you are vital. That's why we want you here. I don't know if you've been around dead people, but their heartbeat stops. I've been to a lot of autopsies. Not a one of them had a beating heart. And if they did, they wouldn't be on that table. And if they were on that table, a lot of us would be really shocked. You're important. You have a purpose here. And it's not just to plop down on a chair and say, okay, Pastor, feed me. Still love me? You have to, you're not going to heaven. So I thought I'd throw that in. When believers stop praying, the enemy advances. Think about your own life. When your prayer life goes kind of dwindles or stops, doesn't a lot of stuff get weird in your life? But when believers stand in truth, the enemy retreats. You want the devil out of your life? Start praying. And don't just pray for yourself. Lord, bless me because, well, really, I deserve it, God. How about, Lord, I want to be used by you. Make me a guided missile this morning for the people who need to see you. Send me like a heat-seeking missile to people that are hurting, people that need whatever it is, God, and let me provide it. God, use me. When's the last time you prayed that? Because here's what you'll find. As you are used by God, as you begin to minister to other people, your heart gets lifted up too. Rising tide lifts all boats. And as you minister, God ministers back. As you give out, God gives back. And you know what? God's got a bigger shovel than you do. Stand and see clearly what's going on in your life. You can't do it with eyes. You can only do it with a heart that's attuned to God. Ephesians 6:12 is not meant to scare us. It's meant to wake us up. Wait, we're doing battle with unseen forces? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I might as well give up now. No, read the next verse where it talks about the battle. Wait, about the helmet of salvation and the body armor and all this other stuff that God has given us to fight those battles. You're not in this defenseless. It's not like you're just laying down saying, okay, the devil's after me and he's been chasing me all week and my life's going to die. I'm going to die. Shut up. I'm not supposed to say that in church, really. Shut up. I'm not supposed to say that. Yea, verily, quiet is thy mouth. Is that better? Shut up. You're not defenseless. In fact, you're more powerful than you think. I love the videos. This is just me. I love the videos where the one poor kid's being picked on. And the other guy's bigger, and he's, what's the matter? What's the matter? He's pushing him and doing all kinds of stuff to him. And all of a sudden, the kid that was bullied drops his backpack and goes to town. and tunes up the bully. I love when the bullies get tuned up. You know what I mean by tuned up? I mean have the snot kicked out of them. Like in Christmas Story, when Ralphie goes nuts on that, whatever that kid's name was, Scott Farkas. I got news for you. You're not some timid Casper G. Milquetoast 98-pound weakling in this fight. You are a fully armored, fully battle-padded, fully weaponized method to defeat the devil. You. Come on. You. You're like, not me, Jerry. Yes, you. What does it say? You got the helmet of salvation. You got the body armor. You got your feet shod so you don't slip. You got the sword of the Lord. Hey, you're not defenseless. In fact, you're a mean, lean fighting machine. But you've got to decide that you're going to do it. Your struggle isn't pointless. Your resistance is not imaginary. Your obedience matters more than you realize. When you realize the battle is spiritual, you stop attacking people. Why? Because they're not the problem. They're a symptom, not the disease. You start standing in faith. Instead of using intellect and your own emotions, hello? You fight with prayer, truth, and love. There's not a power in this earth can withstand a Christian fighting with prayer, truth, and love. The devil sees us starting to use these weapons, and he cowers in fear. Why? Because he's the bully in the video. And as long as he can cow us into walking away, he's fine. The minute we drop our backpack and start tuning him up, he runs. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will fight with you. No, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? Because he's a wimp. He knows he's beaten. See, the good news is this. The same chapter that reveals the enemy also reveals the armor and the victory. We read Ephesians 6:12 and never go on to 6:13. You're fighting all these battles against principalities and spirit and all these things. Oh, it's scary. Oh, wait a second. But wait, there's more. There's armor. There's weapons. I like a good weapon. Stand firm. Fight wisely. And above all else, remember, this battle belongs to the Lord. This is God's battle, not yours. If you're one of God's children, he's already said he will be in our corner. He'll be by our side. He will never leave us or forsake us. Next week, we're going to talk about the armor and how to apply it, how to put it in your life and use it. Do not miss next week, although I may have scared many of you away this week. Here's the thing. The people who don't show up next week, that's how we'll know who are the sinners. That's how we'll know who is lost, hallelujah, and we must pray for their deliverance. We're going to have to bring in extra chairs next week, Jeremiah. Because you have people on video, oh, I better get there. Hey, battle's not yours. You ready for this? If you allow it, I believe this series is going to sharpen your focus on serving God in a greater and mightier way than you ever have. Why? Because you start understanding the real problem. Once you understand the real problem, you can attack it. Amen? I love you guys. Father, thanks. So good to us, God. Lord, I'm thankful that you don't leave us here to die on our own. You don't leave us here to just fight by ourselves and hope that something goes well. God, you've given us weapons. You've given us protection. You've given us your grace, your mercy, your strength, your power. God, we're not defenseless. Thank you for this, God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, have you had a rough week this week? Maybe now you're realizing, I've been fighting the wrong battle. Just ask the Lord to give you strength. Quit trying to do it on your own. You're not that strong. Go ahead, right now. Just say, God, I'm tired of doing it on my own. It's not working. Guide me, direct me, give me power, give me strength, give me your grace. God, thank you so much. Father, I believe this is going to be a pivotal moment in hearts. As we quit trying to do battle ourselves and realize that you're the one that's going to do battle for us. You're the one that's going to help us. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Bless us now, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. All right. Be prepared. Okay? Because this week might get rough. The devil's not going to just let you go. He's going to start guarding you. That's okay. You can rein in baskets. When things come up this week, just remember who's in charge. Not the devil. And it's not you. It's God. Amen? Can't wait to see where we go with this. Love you guys. God bless.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.